What does following Christ look like when we do it without caring about whether or not his commands are easy? What does it mean to believe the word of God regardless of whether or not it fits what I wanted before I heard God, or more, regardless of whether or not it fits what I want now? The book of James closes with a command for us to go after those who have heard the truth and then wandered away. It reminds us that we have been given the charge, the responsibility, and the power to change the course of someone's life when they have decided that following the truth is just too costly, and that they would rather follow someone who will tell them what they want to hear. Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This week, Pastor Jim presses home the truth that we are responsible to go in search of those who have wandered away. He reminds us that the truth matters, and that the heart of the gospel is still the salvation of sinners. So come along as we go in search of the missing, the lost, the wanderers, as we walk together in the light of the Word.
James 5, beginning in the 19th verse. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Oh, Father, Lord, as we come to this close in the Epistle of James, what a rich and blessed time it has been to study through this. We just ask, Father, that as we have gathered here, you would speak through your servant, that you would use me, Lord, to speak to these that you have gathered here, those who are watching and those who will listen, that you be glorified, Father. May this never be about any one of us, but always be about your greatness. Again, I thank you, and I thank you that though this describes who I once was, your grace and your mercy have fallen on me. Again, I ask, use me. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. When I was preparing this message, I started it out by writing, we live in a time when God's word is rejected by even those who profess to be brothers and sisters, and those who are in the church, but truly hate his word. But then I got to thinking about that. Isn't that the reason these epistles were written? Isn't that the reason that Paul wrote what he wrote, and Peter wrote what he wrote, and John and James? And isn't it because even then there were those who hated God's truth and tried to replace it with something else? I was thinking, it's kind of like diet sodas. Cynthia always tells me, stay away from the diet sodas. They're bad for you. Stay away. You're better off to have the sugar. She didn't have to tell me that too many times. But the diet soda takes out something that gives you flavor and adds something that gives you aftertaste that is unhealthy for you. And that's what we do with God's word. We take out something that gives it flavor, that reveals the greatness of our God, and we put something back in as a substitute that is not a true substitute, because there is no substitute for God's word. His truth stands alone. So as James has gone through this, he has given us many examples of what it means to have a true faith and a false faith. Very clearly, he said that we're to be doers of the word, because a doer of the word has a true faith. But somebody who is a hearer only does not have a true faith. And so we've gone through these lessons. We saw that we're to resist the devil, but not just resist the devil. We seem to stop there too often. But we're to cling to God. We're to gather with God and to seek him and to come close to him, and he will come close to us. And now James is bringing it all together, and he again says, my brothers. We've learned as we've studied this. You know, we started the first lesson of this was in February, so that it would be ready for the radio in March. So we have been in James since February, and we've learned that when he says, my brothers, it might be the brothers and sisters in Christ, but it also might be talking about those who are brothers as far as fellow Jews. In fact, more often than not, as we go through James, we see that's what he's really saying. My fellow Jews who are a part of the church, we see he's calling us here to evangelize. He has given us these tests all the way through. And now he's come and he says to the rest of us, to those who are here, to those of us who have passed, who truly have the faith that God has given us, that have been filled with the grace that God has given us, and he gives us a charge. And we're used to seeing charges when we go through the letters from Paul. Paul is constantly charging us to do something, and James does that here. If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, he's telling us, go get him. Go get him. Do we know people who seem to be on fire for God, at least seem to have some sort of desire for God, and then all of a sudden they disappeared? They're gone? We know those people, don't we? They've been in our midst. They've been in our homes. These are people who appeared to love the Word of God. But then one day, the truth came out. Sometimes it shocks us, doesn't it? Sometimes it shocks us, the people who fall away in this manner. But our position, our place, is to go get them. I remember Dwayne Miller in his story. He was talking about the Second Baptist Church there in Houston, and how after he had all these problems and had to step down from the pulpit and everything, he said that the church came and retrieved him back to Houston. Brothers and sisters, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be retrieving those who have fallen away. We don't have to look very far to find them. In fact, we could sit here and we could make a fairly inexhaustible list, maybe I should say, of names of people we have seen fall away. They're all around us. So the question I see here, or the first question I should say, is, are we talking about people who are, as we like to call it, carnal Christians? Or are we talking about people who are Christians and have sinned? Or are we talking about lost people in the church? And when we look at this text, and we look at the word sinner in verse 20, and the original word that is used to receive this word, we are talking about lost people. We are talking about those who have been among us, those who have taught, those who have worshiped, those who have sang, and then they were gone. The scripture says they went out from us. Why? Because they were not of us. Time after time, when this original word in the original language is used, it's talking about the lost. We're to go get lost people who have been apart. Why would this be different than just lost people who are out in the world? Because we've walked a mile with them, haven't we? We've walked with these people who have come in and then gone away. The scriptures give us right here in these verses some things to watch for, some things to be aware of when it comes to those who are walking with us that could fall away in this way. Now, I want to make one thing perfectly clear. I am not in any way, in any shape, and in any form saying that these are people who had salvation and lost salvation. Let there be no misunderstanding. The Bible is very, very clear on the fact that we can have confidence in our salvation. And the fact that we would sin after being saved does not cost us our salvation. God's grace is sufficient for even that. These are people who themselves even have been fooled, who have never tasted salvation. The first thing we see in verse 19 is they wander from the truth. Some of your versions say they stray from the truth. Years ago, I used to have a Siberian Husky dog. He was my buddy. He and I did lots of stuff together. But when he was home alone, he did not like being alone. And he would jump the fence. And he would go wandering through the neighborhood and seeing the neighbors. And he would go and greet people here and there, coming and going. One day the dog catcher came by, put him back in the yard, but he wanted to play. So he jumped back over the fence and followed him back to his truck. He didn't realize how much that cost me that day. He was one that liked to stray. He liked to get away. How he never got hit by a car is beyond me. But we've had others that liked to wander, and they wandered into a street. And we're killed. Brothers and sisters, hear me. When we wander from the truth, when we're not satisfied with God's word, and we begin to stray away from it, we are heading to disaster. Because the true man or woman of God hates the lie. They hate the lie. They can't stand the things that are not true, and they desire with all their heart for the truth. But those who are not are offended by the truth. I just think back to the number of people, not just one, but the number of people over the years who have told me, you can't preach that because people don't want to hear it. Is that what our preaching is about, what people want to hear? They wander from the truth. They start to desire things that are not real. They want to adjust and put in a substitute to God's word. They want it to say what they want it to say. And it's not that hard to find somebody out there who's going to say it. It's not that hard to find somebody out there who will say exactly what you want them to say. There was a particular minister that Gail Dexter, a man who used to be a part of this church, he had a problem with, because when that minister was interviewing, he was asked if he would be willing to learn and teach Reformed doctrine. And he said, as long as you're paying me, I will. You know, what is our motivation? Do we desire God's word because he puts that desire in our heart? Because it reveals him? It draws us closer to him? It is the platform in which we get to know him better? Or do we desire God's word so that we can get what we want, so that we can do our duty, so that we get that, so to speak, get out of jail free card? So we wander away. That's W-A-N-D-E-R. Mine always sounds like an O. We wander away from his word. And it doesn't take long before we're fooled by a lie. Too many people study the lie instead of the truth. We gotta desire the truth for what it is and dig into it. This wandering, this straying away from the truth, we see it revealed not just in James, but in other places. Our Lord and Savior said, there will be those who say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not? And give a list of things they did in his name. And he'll say, begone. I never knew you. Those are people who were in church, but they did not desire and they were not doers of the truth. Folks, it's not yours and my responsibility to condemn those people, by the way. It's not. It's yours and my responsibility to point them in love to the truth. Now, sometimes love may not feel like love when you're on the other side of it. As many of us in here are parents, when we said hard things to our children, sometimes they didn't appreciate it, did they? But they were things that needed to be said because of love. Well, sometimes those we love in this manner don't appreciate hearing the hard things. But love doesn't say, well, if they don't appreciate it, I better do something that they will appreciate. That's not the way it works. Love says, this is what is best for you. Do this. In Matthew chapter 13, our Lord gives us this parable. Starting in the first verse, that same day Jesus went out of the house, and he sat at the sea, and a great crowd gathered about him. And he got into a boat, and he sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parable, saying, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed. Some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. But since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Of course, we're going to go on to the good seed here in a minute, but the good soil. But look at these three. The first one, that hard soil. Have you ever shared God's word with somebody, and when you shared it, it had absolutely no effect? It's almost as if they didn't hear it. It just fell on deaf ears. That's that first soil. That's that hard soil. That's not who James is talking about here today. James is talking about somebody who has heard God's word, who has come to some respect, in some respect to the church or to the fellowship or to worship, but they didn't have root. The second soil, the rocky ground. There was enough hardness left in them that they wanted and could not receive fully the word because there was no room for it to grow deep in them. And so those are the people that come in and want to change the church and the image of the church. Folks, the church itself is the believers, isn't it? And as the believers, we are the same. It's the same word. It is the same teacher. It is the same Lord that we have always had throughout all the centuries. We're not going to change it. But still in that same that James is talking about, he's also talking about those that fell in amongst the thorns. Now these are the people that are quite boisterous. They want to adjust so that everybody likes everybody. This is unity at all cost. Unity at all cost is deadly to the church. It is deadly to the church because unity at all cost has to lead you away from Christ, because not everybody wants to hear what God has to say. And when you have unity at all cost, you begin to take paths that you know you shouldn't take. I read many years ago that one generation is all it takes to take the most conservative, faithful church to liberal. One generation. As far as that goes, look at our nation. Look at our nation. We have a generation. We have a group of people who would take our country hostage and change those things that I believe God gave us over 200 years ago to stand on for His glory. These are the people that James is talking about. Let's go retrieve them. I think we should be making an effort regularly, not an only effort, not an exclusive effort, but a regular effort to be going out and talking to those who have strayed away. Where do they stray to? Sometimes they stray to other churches. Some people like, well, I just want a church that only meets once a week. I don't want a church that has a bunch of Bible studies. I don't want a church that has a bunch of other stuff. I just want to come in on Sunday morning and feel good when I leave. We've had them say that to us, haven't we? I just want to come in and I want to feel like I'm floating on a cloud, one man told me, when he leaves. If you go in and tell your doctor you're hurting, he'll give you some drugs that'll make you float on a cloud, if that's what you're after. But if you're after worshiping the true God, that's not it. We need to retrieve them. We need to go after them. I know sometimes I must drive people crazy because I go and I visit and I go and I see them. Maybe they haven't come to our church in a long time, but I still go. There's one lady who is about to receive a letter from me. She doesn't live in this area. Many years ago, she was here, and just recently, I got a note from her saying that she had joined the Seventh-day Adventist. Broke my heart. For many years, I worked for a man. I ran a chain of stores for him. Towards the end of his life, he started listening to the Mormons instead of the truth. Where do people go? They go to these kind of places. They go to places that'll give them what they want instead of what God says. And folks, the Bible tells us very clearly that our hearts are what? Deceitful. Your heart will lie to you just as my heart will lie to me. So these people, they're going to other churches that do not preach the Word of God. They're going to other cults that have no desire for God. How can we possibly be satisfied to let them go? We can't stop them physically, but we can certainly go after them. I know one brother in particular who had to get crazy. He always told me he wasn't tired of me, but I would come and I would bother him and pray for him. In fact, I would pray for him and I'd pray with him and I'd pray that God would destroy him so that he'd rebuild him. And he knew it was right, but he wanted what he wanted. Oh, brothers and sisters, I share this because it's important. This is what it should look like to belong to Christ. I'm going to read from Matthew, still chapter 13. We'll get to that last soil here in a little bit. But Matthew 13, in the 44th verse, we receive two parables, two very short parables about the kingdom of heaven. First one says, verse 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field." Verse 45, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of a fine pearl, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Remember, Philip came to Jesus. Scripture says Jesus found Philip, called Philip. Philip went and got Nathanael. Philip says to Nathanael, "We have found him." They have found him because that was what they were looking for. The people, the Jewish people, were looking for the Messiah. When people come wandering in here off the street, There is truly a certain aspect of them seeking God. But the real question is, what God are they seeking? What God are they seeking? Are they seeking the true God? Most of the time, the answer is no. Most of the time, it is no. They have a longing for something, for the true God, but that's not what they're seeking. Because when you find and when you hear the truth, it should be like this. When you have come to the place of understanding and knowing Jesus because of what he has done in you, you should have nothing of value to you anymore. No, I didn't say go sell everything you have. You should have nothing that is more valuable to you than Christ, that you would not give up for him. Is that how we feel? Is Christ more valuable to you than anything else? That's the parable. Sold everything to go buy the field. Sold everything to go buy the pearl. Are you willing to give up everything to follow after Christ? That was the true question to the rich young ruler. It wasn't about the amount of money he had. It was about what stood between him and truly following after Christ. Sometimes it's not our things that hinder us. Sometimes what hinders us from following after Christ and doing with all that we have and all that we are is our own pride. Our pride gets in the way of us hearing God. We're afraid of what it might look like. We're afraid of who might see. We're afraid that we may not be as important to somebody if they knew that we were sold out to Christ, so we don't sell out. That is not what the wanderer looks like. The wanderer is willing to trade truth for a lie. He's willing to go after those things that God has not given.
What a challenging call. What do you value most of all? It is indeed hard for us to surrender all to the Lord when we love the things of this life so much. And it becomes so much harder when we realize that it's not our money that's the issue, but rather our hearts. Loving your own opinions or the opinions of others more than you love the truth of God is indeed the cause for many to go astray. But it's also the reason that more of us don't chase after them as we are exhorted to do. It is so important that we take this command seriously, that we love one another enough to risk offense for the sake of truth.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here. I look forward to these times after each message or each section of a message that I get to share and pour out some of those things that God has poured into me through the people that he has placed in my life, through the studies that he has placed in my life, through the working through Scripture. So I hope that you enjoy these times as well. I'm especially excited about this month. This is Reformation Month. Now, some of you may not know much about the Reformation, and there's lots of good information out there. The Protestant Reformation was a reclaiming of the Word of God, a reclaiming of the truths of God. It was a reclaiming of those things that Jesus laid out as the church. And so, as we go through this month, I'm going to share different things each week with you about the Reformation. I originally became interested in the Reformation when somebody had showed me the soles, the five soles. And so that's where we'll start today, with the five soles. We'll start with them just a little different order than what you typically would see them in. We'll start with Soli Deo Gloria. Of course, that's the Latin for to God be the glory alone. Now, this particular point is the heart of Reformation. This particular point is what turns us and focuses us on what is most important, on bringing glory to God. The Scriptures tell us that in all things, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we're to bring glory to God. And so that is the pillar, the sole, that everything stands on. Now, that sole is often listed last in the list of soles, but we're going to put it first. And then second one that we're going to go after today is sola scriptura, which is Scripture alone. It is Scripture that instructs us how to glorify God. It is Scripture that is God's very word to us. It is scripture that he uses to draw us. It is scripture that it says must be preached, must be shared, must be heard for salvation. And it is important to know that scripture is the only authority on scripture. And there is no man, there is no person, there is no group that has more authority than scripture. Third, that we look at today is solos Christos. This here, it means Christ alone. It is in Christ alone that we are saved. There is no other name by which man is to be saved. And it is Christ who is the Son of God. It is Christ who is the Messiah. It is Christ upon whose name we are saved. Oh, for the salvation of men, it does not come from the church. It comes from Christ. Next we have sole fide, which is by faith alone, or you could say by faith without works that we are saved. This point is often associated with or based on the understanding and the doctrine that we are justified by faith alone. Now, where does that faith come from? You know that God gives us the very faith it takes to believe in him, the very faith it takes to have our eyes opened, our ears opened, when he regenerates our heart and gives us a new heart. Now, next is sole gratia. Sole gratia is grace alone. And this is the means by which God saves us. It is by his grace alone. It is not because of anything about us, but it is about him and by his means that he saves us. Hope that this little brief introduction to the soles perks your interest. I know it did mine, and I hope that it does yours. And hope that you will take time to study good, solid information on the Protestant Reformation. Now, another thing that's going to happen here in October with our weekly program is our announcer, Pastor Eugene. When we finish James here in a week, after that, we're going to play one of Pastor Eugene's messages that he delivered to his congregation. And I know you're going to enjoy it. It's on My Brother's Keeper. I've listened to it several times and been blessed every time I've listened to it. This is a message he preached in August. So I hope you'll look forward to hearing that. And until next time, may God bless you.
We want to thank you for joining us today. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to help keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we will send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar with stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. Thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you will join us next time on Light of the Word Radio. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you and bless the hearing of his word.